It's the Don't Make It Weird podcast with your hosts, Daniel and Dina Soares.
What is going on, everyone? Listen, this is a very special episode because I am right here, right now, in California with producer Sean, staring at his beautiful blue eyes. Are they blue? I don't know what your eye color is. I'm a bad friend. I've known him like 18 years. I don't know his eye color. But for the folks at home, this is the Don't Make It Weird podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Daniel Quigley, and I am joined, as always, by the effervescent, evangelical, evil, extraordinaire, Dina Soares. What's going on, Dina?
You just repeated your E's from last episode, too, so that was kind of
No,
lame.
I didn't. There was no E's last episode.
You did effervescent last episode.
No, we didn't. Last episode was us calling you a hectic, hot, something.
Listen, we're running out of ideas. It's episode 11. There's going to be some repeats at some point.
And right, I'm out here with my natural hair, looking fabulous, and joined, as always, by producer Sean, the only adult in the room. What's going on?
Man, it was a hell of a time getting this set up. Daniel came straight from the airport, but we're here, we're doing it, and I'm excited.
And you want to know why I'm the absolute most excited? Because after months of just, you know, sliding into Twitter messages, maybe getting her to try to sing us some songs, just trying to be her general best friend so she'd come on the show with us, we are joined by Zoe herself. What's going on, Zoe? How are you?
Hi, I am fantastic. I can't believe I tricked you guys into letting me on your show.
Gotcha.
Listen, anyone who sings Oombop for me is instantly my good graces. So for anyone at home, just post yourself singing Oombop. I'll probably put you on the show at some point. And also for the folks at home who don't know, because they really want to mess with me, Dina and Zoe have changed their names. And they both have beautifully blue-colored wigs on. So I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to screw this up at some point. That's just what's going to happen. And I feel awful. So, Dina, why do you hate me?
There's a lot of reasons. It's not hard to do, but I just, you know, 3 hours of sleep sounded like a good opportunity.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And Zoe, for the folks at home that don't know, Zoe, tell us a little bit about some of these projects that you're working on right now. What should folks know about the many resources of Zoe?
Oh, the many resources.
Okay,
of
stop.
Zoe.
You're supposed to plug her stuff, yeah, not put her on the spot.
Yeah, I just totally. Yeah, we're going to cut that part.
Might leave it in.
Oh, fuck.
Daddy Sean just coming
see,
in like
this. So you put on the Thor wig and I'm. Yeah, listen, Sean's going to make
she
sure everyone
Daddy
else
Sean.
Looks good.
She did say Daddy
me.
Sean.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, it's Papa Sean. Yeah. All right, so sorry. All right, here we go.
Daddy Sean, Papa Sean, it's fine.
So for the folks at home that don't realize, Zoe is into a little bit of everything. She is on the Are They Still Together podcast with our friend of the show, Anthony, Dr. Star Puncher. And she's got an album, I Wish You Were Here, by Zoe. You can find this online at Bandcamp, and we'll have a link in the description. But where I first got to know you, Zoe, was on your Twitch stream.
Beautiful.
So tell me a little bit about, like, just, you know, how you got started on doing some of these projects. Like, well, you know, you've got a podcast, you've got your Twitch stream, you've got your music, and I think you write some, too.
I do. Yeah. I wrote an entire book.
A whole book?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. Well, the album.
So I
happened.
Think Daniel forgot that this is a writing podcast.
Yeah. Wait. We write here. I fuck.
Only sometimes.
This is going so well, you guys.
Can somebody?
So
can somebody get Daniel more alcohol or some shit?
I need to drink more alcohol.
He's got half a case of White Claws next to him.
This is fucking horrible.
Zoe, tell me how you and Anthony decided to get together and start a podcast.
Sure. Well, I successfully bamboozled him, just like I bamboozled all of you. Essentially, I started working with Anthony on his book, his graphic novel that he's writing with Steven called Play It Again. And I'm going to be singing on the album for that. And we kind of got together and would through talking about that project together, we became really good friends and just started talking about all sorts of stupid shit, essentially. And yeah, he started talking about ideas he had for podcasts. And I was like, so I talk to a baby all day. Do you want to like do this with me so I can have some human interaction here? And he was like, well, I'm really busy. And I was like, so here's a counterpoint. We can do this and I'll make you edit it. So you have even more to do. Don't you want to do this? And he said, yes, somehow.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, there's no downside to this.
No downside. I mean,
that's amazing. That's amazing. How long have you been doing the Twitch stream too? Because again, that's how I first got to know you is, you know, a little Mass Effect, a little Sims, you know. What got you into wanting to do the Twitch streaming gaming stuff?
Well, okay. So I've been doing it since March. So, not too long, but I've been playing video games since I was a kid. I'm a huge friggin' nerd. And, that's just what I like to do in my spare time. And I love watching Let's Plays and stuff, on YouTube and Twitch and stuff. And, it was actually, I blame Anthony, honestly, because I was talking to him about it and he was like, I always blame him for everything. He knows that. He was like, I don't understand why you're not just doing that. Why aren't you doing that yourself? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I was like, fuck it. Okay. I guess I'll try and see what happens.
That's amazing. And my favorite part for the folks at home that don't realize it, Froggy Fridays is now a grand tradition in the Twitch stream. Just take us through how this happened and what it entails.
So I feel so bad. Anthony's going to watch this and he's going to be like, you hate me, but it's his fault too.
Damn you, Anthony.
Damn it. But it's his fault too. So I was, living my life just, you know, and doing my Twitch stream. And I was like, okay, so if I get to 100 followers, I'll dress up in a princess costume for a stream. I think that'd be funny. And, you know, he was like, well, counterpoint, what if it was a frog costume instead?
Yeah. I mean, technically a princess.
Where that came from.
A princess and a frog.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I was like, okay, sure. And everyone was like, you need to put this in the poll. This is what I want. I don't want you in an Ariel costume. I don't want you in seashells. I want you in a goddamn frog costume. So,
get in the frog.
Can I say that? Can I say that word on here? Yes.
Oh, fuck. Listen, we swear.
Bro, we say fuck all the time.
Literally routinely.
Fucking okay.
This is not a PG show.
Dina, if you're
kids
listening.
I'm just making sure.
Why do you have kids? Everybody in this stream has kids except for me.
Yeah, that's what makes me the...
Actually, I have a story about my first major interaction with Zoe.
Please. Is this a cute meet?
I had never watched... No, not at all. It's really fucking awkward. I don't even know if she realizes yet. I had never watched a Twitch stream before. Didn't realize that they saved and they weren't always live. So I thought that I was live tweeting her Twitch stream. So I was tweeting her with zero context. And she was talking, she was telling a story about her summer camp or whatever. And I was just like, ha, I need a line where she says this one time at band camp. And I was like, I got a story. So I live tweeted it. And instead it got ignored because it was super fucking weird of me to say that with no context at all.
It's an adorable cute meet. I love it.
Sorry.
I got it after the fact. She explained it and I understood it eventually.
But before then, it was like, yeah, what the fuck is this? What is it?
Yeah, I don't understand technology, so it's fine.
All right, so we are really excited about the first segment that we're going to be bringing out on the podcast with you. This is a brand new one. This is Dina's brilliant love child idea. We're going to, on your profile, you tell us that you're a bit of a Disney slut. Is that a correct terminology? I mean, like how...
It's incredibly accurate, yes.
I mean, are you confident in your slutitude in regards to Disney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's a massive slut. Give it, give it, give it.
So we are going to start out with a Disney trivia game. The three of us that producer Sean's going to set up. And we're going to see who is the biggest Disney whore of them all. And I got to let you know, I am a massive slut myself.
Uh-oh.
All right, I know lots of like obscure, but I don't know like common Disney stuff.
Defend my title. I'm ready.
So some of these are easy. Some of them not so easy. what we'll do is I'll read a question and we got to figure out some way for you guys to buzz in. Say, I know it or whatever. And whoever says it first, I'll call on you to answer it.
I think just have everyone say their name. Whoever says their name the fastest, you know, I mean, even though mine's, you know, longer.
You might screw up your own name.
That is very, very possible. But yeah, just that's your buzzword.
I hope there's not a lag.
Your name isn't longer, by the way. Everyone here has two syllable names except for me.
Dean.
Your name has been Daniel your whole life.
Do I shout Dina?
I mean, do you identify as Dina?
Yeah. Okay. That's another trick. I have to shout Zoe.
I'm definitely going to call myself Dan for Dina, the first time in my life.
Yep. There you go. Okay. Question number one. What is the name of Rapunzel's horse?
Oh, Dina.
That would be Maximus, sir. What?
It is Maximus.
Yeah, thank you. That is Maximus.
You're right.
You didn't say your name, though.
Oh, I definitely said my name, but I think I was muted.
He was muted.
That's yeah, you were
we'll
muted.
We'll just, like, edit it in.
Oh, my God.
Technically, that's not Rapunzel's horse, but I mean,
oh,
okay.
That's true. That is not technically... Oh.
It's not technically Rapunzel's horse.
I think I wrote that question wrong. I'm sorry, guys. I was drunk.
Sorry, guys. I
was
drunk. I don't
know the answers. It's just...
Flynn Rider's... There you go.
The horse from Rapunzel?
There you go.
Okay.
Eugene. I learned his name the other day. Eugene. It's Eugene, right?
Flynn Rider is a fake name.
My niece taught me that.
Where does Beauty and the Beast take place?
In.
Daniel.
Dina.
Joey.
Are you...
France!
That's correct. It's an unnamed provincial town in France.
I would have been wrong.
In fact, though, it's based on an actual town called Conques. And if you go there, it actually looks like the real town.
Really?
Yep. Cobblestone roads.
You are very, very quiet, Sean, just so you know.
Yeah, I'll just mute. Man.
Yes, you are.
You go and I'll
you're
be
really,
on
really
it.
Quiet.
Okay. What is the name of Moana's island?
Oh, I haven't seen that shit.
So, no, Zoe.
Zoe?
I might be wrong, but Tahiti? I think that's the name of the goddess, isn't it? Damn it.
Daniel? Dina?
Dan.
Daniel.
I haven't seen Moana.
Monta Nui Nui?
It is. I'll take it. It's Monta Nui.
Monta Nui. Yes. Okay. Three-year-old daughter. I'm crushing this.
Okay, next question. How many sisters does Ariel have in The Little Mermaid?
Zoe?
Dina.
Zoe.
Six.
That is correct. A bonus point if you can tell me their names.
I'm out.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck. Fuck that noise.
They all start with the letter A. Yeah, you guys are never going to get this. It's Atina, Alana, Adela, Aquata, Arista, and Indrina. I don't think any of those names... Well, I know all of them are not. Some of them are sad.
I would have never, never had a chance of that.
Okay. Next question. Which official Disney princess is the youngest?
Dina.
Dina.
Ariel is. It's Ariel, right?
Zoe!
Isn't no,
Zoe.
Zoe. Snow White?
The correct answer is Snow White.
Isn't she like 13?
14 years old.
Fuck. Oh, she's 14.
She's young.
I thought she was 13.
She's young. Holy shit.
And the oldest is Elsa from Frozen, 21 years old.
Ew.
They're all teenagers, except for
I knew that one.
Elsa, essentially. Okay. This is a fun one. Which Disney character from another film is related to Ariel from The Little Mermaid?
Oh my God.
It's Hercules.
Hercules is related to... Yeah, oh, Hercules. Because...
Ariel is the daughter of Triton,
shit.
Who is the brother of Zeus, who is the father of Hercules, right? Oh, sorry. Poseidon
that was
is
sneaky as
Zeus
shit,
and
Sean.
Triton's father. Got that wrong. Okay, this one is the final question. Whoever gets this one right takes it all. Name five Disney princes.
Dina.
Dina.
I got this. Okay.
Zoe.
I got
go
this.
Ahead.
I think. Maybe. Prince Eric. Does Hercules count as one?
He's not an official prince, according to Disney lore. So I will let you count Hercules if you get four official princes.
Okay. Fine. Prince Eric.
Eric.
Prince Charming, because technically in Snow White, his name is Prince Charming. His name is Prince Charming.
Yes. His name is Charming. That's correct.
Okay. Oh, crap. I'm thinking. I've got this. Naveen from Princess and the Frog.
That's correct.
And oh, crap. I got this. I can do this.
One more.
I believe in you.
Crap. I can do this. Oh, shit. Aladdin.
Hey. Okay, so we're going to count Hercules because you're the guest. If it were
it
Daniel,
took me way too long.
I would not have counted it.
It took me that too damn
good.
Long. Holy shit.
So I would have accepted any of the following. Florian / Ferdinand from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There's a divide on what his actual name is. Prince Charming from Sleeping Beauty. Prince Philip.
He's always the one I forget.
Yeah, Prince Philip, who's also from Sleeping Beauty. Eric from The Little Mermaid. Adam from Beauty and the Beast. Aladdin from Aladdin. John Smith from Pocahontas. Not really a prince, but recognized by Disney as a prince. Li Shang from Mulan. Naveen from Princess and the Frog. Eugene from Tangled. And honorable mentions are Simba from The Lion King and Kristoff from Frozen.
I was going to say, Kristoff was my...
So technically he was never a prince because he was just like Anna's boyfriend. And then Anna became queen at the end of Frozen 2. Spoiler alert. So he would have immediately been king, right? At that
damn
point,
he would have never been a prince.
He would have skipped the princehood.
Although technically he probably would have been a prince consort, not king.
That's a good idea. I like how we're, you know what? That's a good point. Man, can you imagine if they had that, like the official concubine or the prince consort, like in Disney? Like, I don't know if they'd go that route. It's historically accurate, though. Yeah. All right. So we've got an extra special set of questions for you, Zoe. All right. In honor of the Are They Still Together podcast, which you can find on YouTube and any place that you can get your own podcasts, we are going to have a very special rapid fire. Just one to two sentences. Give us the immediate off the cuff answer. Are they still together? Disney edition.
Fuck yes. Give it to me.
That's right. We planned this one just for Zoe. It is her specialty. So Are they still together, Zoe? Belle and Adam.
Yes. They are. Absolutely.
Give us a quick reason why. Just 1-2 seconds.
Okay, so everyone argues that she has Stockholm Syndrome. She does not, actually. They have a genuine bond, and I maintain that they are good together, even though he was hotter as the beast than he was as a human.
True.
Good point.
It's just facts.
Okay, Eric and Ariel.
I think they will stay together, but I think they have issues for a little while. They got some shit they need to work through, for sure, because they know nothing about each other. He's just in love with her because she's a good singer.
Like, right on, right on. So yes, wait, but they need couples therapy.
But like, are we like include, yes, like you've seen them with their kid and everything, like Ariel 1 and 2 or the Little Mermaid 1 and 2 or whatever, right? Like we're counting all.
We don't count straight to video releases, okay? Let's talk about theatrical stories.
But I love their daughter. Okay, that's fine. That's fair.
Melody is adorable. And yes, I do know her name.
That was good. I didn't know her name, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Simba and Nala.
Oh, absolutely. You love that best friends to lovers? You're like, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Good one. I mean, like, I feel strongest relationship out of all the Disney like characters.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they have the biggest bedrock, like
absolutely.
Yeah.
Literally, because they live in a rock.
Got him.
Good point. Okay. Rapunzel and Eugene.
Where's the hook? Yes. Because they spend time getting to know each other. And they get along. They have a pretty good rapport with each other, too. There will be a couple of trust issues there for sure. But I think they've got a pretty good.
Excellent. Woody and Bo Peep.
I mean, I prefer him with Buzz personally. But
you totally ship Woody and totally Buzz, don't you? Buddy, I don't blame you.
So honestly, that's a thing? Like that's a fandom where they are a couple?
I don't know if it's a fandom. I it's just what I feel.
It is now.
I love it. I'm in it, man. That's exciting. Let's go. My mind's blown right now.
Listen, as someone who enjoys the content, you're welcome to ship whoever you want in the story. That's up to you.
Just because it's not officially
canon doesn't mean that you can't feel that way.
Who's the female cowboy in that?
Jessie.
Weren't they a couple or no?
No.
I don't really remember.
No, Jessie was with Buzz.
Yeah, Jessie was with Buzz.
In Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't remember any of it. I watched it like at work when I was.
She fell in love with him when he was in Spanish mode, I think, and he was dancing and stuff.
Oh my God, did.
Okay. That's very true. That's fair. She was like, that's okay. That's
yeah, so at the end of Toy Story 4, another spoiler alert for you guys. Movie's been out a while. Get with it. Woody decides to stay at the fair to help Bo Peep with orphan toys. And Buzz goes back with the kid. I can't remember her name.
I got to rewatch it all because I don't remember. I've watched them all, but I don't remember any of that.
Wait, Dina, you don't remember things? That's so off-brand for you. How many times have you watched
Firefly?
It's
the first time I've ever mentioned it.
How many times have you rewatched Firefly?
I think I'm going on 6 or 7. I don't know.
So you already forgot that you forget things as well. Wally and Eve.
Eva.
That's a tough one.
Like that.
Sure, but I feel like he was in love with her. Okay. Unpopular opinion time. I don't actually like Wally. I think it's kind of a bad movie. But I'm going to get canceled for saying that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this session's over. Goodbye.
Over. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Gotta go.
Sorry.
Wally.
But I feel like the relationship was a little bit one-sided for too long. Like, I feel like he followed her around too much and she was kind of like, whatever. And I feel like that's sad and maybe isn't a good sign.
I mean, that's basically mine and Dina's relationship. That's exactly how to describe it, so.
True.
Okay, and the last one. Are they still together? Anna and Kristoff.
Absolutely. Anna and Kristoff are absolute goals, and I love them together. How do you not stay with someone who has an 80s like power ballad in the middle of the fucking
woods? That was
like,
my favorite part of the second movie for sure.
It's marriage material right there. You marry that.
Excellent, excellent.
So, all right. So, my only question is: there anyone? Because I mean, we have yeses across the board. Even though Ariel's got a little bit of maturing to do, a little bit of growing up. Are there any no's? Just if you can just think of one no off the top of your head where you just go, you know what? Credits roll, that Disney couple is
Pocahontas
toast.
Pocahontas and John Smith.
Pocahontas and John Smith, but Snow White.
Well, that one's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that Snow White is staying with that prince guy. There's no fucking way. Absolutely not.
Especially if she's 14.
Yeah, like let's not, you know, take in that creepy vibe, but no. They have nothing. They don't know each other.
Ooh, what about Sleeping Beauty?
They at least had banter for 5 minutes, but I mean, even that is still a little bit iffy. But
are we? Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I understand that it was a different time, but I'm not a huge fan of the whole kissing the strange girl while she sleeps to wake her up thing.
Can we talk about that kink? Like, how long are you going to stick around for that one?
Like, I would have punched my husband in the damn mouth. Don't fucking wake me up like that, motherfucker.
At home, don't kiss sleeping girls. This is a bad idea.
No, that is bad a kink touch. You need to talk about ahead of time. You do not spring that on somebody. Kink negotiations, guys. We'll karate chop you in the throat.
Here's the thing. I die when I sleep, apparently, and it kind of concerns my husband a lot. So I get woken up on more than one occasion with him checking my pulse over me. And every fucking time I go straight for the jab to the throat. Like, I can't even fucking imagine what I would do if he tried to kiss me awake. Like, fuck that.
The throat punch. So maybe the throat punch becomes like a throat rip. Like...
like yeah, like, grab it. Yeah, grab and pull.
Oh,
that's
man.
What she said. That is exactly what she said.
Drink. Do not let Wes get us. Do not let Wes get us.
Oh, do I have to drink too? It. Is that a thing
yep.
I have to do?
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know the rules.
All right, guys. So now it's time to get the tea from you. Zoe. That means that Dina is going to ask you deep, personal, intimate questions. We're going to get deep beneath the surface, expose all your horrible secrets and craziness. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
All right. Dinosaurus, take it away.
All right, Zoe. Dina. Do you like Tom or Jerry more and why?
Oh, shit. I like the mouse better because he's a sassy little bitch and I like him. I'm like him sassy. Yeah.
I just need that clip. Like, I just want to have that like randomly put back in our show. Yeah, he's a sassy little bitch.
That's the promo.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh no.
What is your favorite pasta shape?
I like penne.
Good choice.
I like the penne.
Which one is that?
They're like the ribbed tubes with the diagonal tubes? Cuts on the ends. Kind of like rigatoni.
Oof. Ooh, that's what I had in my head. It's not my favorite, but that's what I had in my head. I was like, this is the tubes. Because I just watched a show where they had like a penne or whatever, rigatoni, whatever the fuck you just said.
Rigatoni. Listen, full disclosure, I 100% interpreted this question as like, you know how like macaroni and cheese or like, you know, maybe have dinosaur shapes or like different things in. Oh. So yeah, I was just thinking we were talking about macaroni.
That's Daniel's child brain at work.
That makes sense. If you were shrunk to the size of a pencil and put in a blender, how would you escape?
So basically, if I was just like an inch smaller than I am right now.
Yes.
Okay, cool. How would I escape? Shit. Is the lid on? I feel like that's important.
Yes.
The lid's on?
Yes.
I'd probably just sit down and accept my fate, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, what can you do unless you have like a grappling hook or something? Like,
I mean, I can scream a little, but if the lid is on and I'm that small, I mean, that's just what's going to happen.
I mean, you're a stinger. Maybe you can hit that high note.
Wait. Oh, God, no. I'm an alto.
Lid is on, but it's not locked. It's just sitting on there. There you go. Okay. How about that?
Okay. I have more questions. I need clarification here. So for the handle that's like on the side of the blender, does it have indents or is it just smooth?
Yes.
It has indents?
No, it has indents.
Okay. Then I'd probably attempt to climb the indents and then start batting away the top and then try to climb up.
And then you're just going to like, you're going to push up the top.
Yeah.
You're not going to use like the center little
muscular, like, oh, you know.
I do? I'm a lazy piece of shit. What? Like, I would die so fast. I'd die from exertion before I died from the blender. Like, there's no way.
I think you just have to hope that whoever owns the blender doesn't use it very often.
Hope that I'm the one with the blender. Yeah.
Basically.
So I didn't like Chad Ryan's answer when he gave us this. Shout out Chad Ryan. What's the superior form of potato?
Mashed or French fry. It's mashed or French fry.
That's what a normal person would say. He was like, sweet potato. What did he say? Sweet potato or something? And I was like, that's not a form.
He didn't understand the question
potato.
At that's first. Once you explained it to him, he said French fries. But he also said that he's not a huge fan of potatoes in general.
I don't remember.
What?
That's right. That's why I didn't like it.
Who isn't a fan of potatoes? Like, what are
you gonna do without... Now Zoe's leaving.
What the fuck?
She's like, I'm out of here.
I used to like Chad, too. I don't know if we're going to get past this.
Yeah, listen, after
not
his
anymore.
Comments on dogs, I mean, listen, when that episode airs, the war is going to be going out. Yeah,
I know, Zoe, I know.
What the fuck did he say about dogs?
You'll just have to tune in.
Yeah, it's a surprise. That episode will come out in like 12 days, and he's fully accepted his fate of being canceled when that comes out.
He and I are going to need to have a conversation real quick.
Minutes.
Hold on.
Excuse me, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Me?
You're holding it with your right hand, dummy.
Did he?
This is my left hand.
Oh, my God. You're mirrored on my side.
That means you got reverse buffaloed.
Yeah, you got reverse buffaloed. Drink, Sean. Drink.
Drink it.
Yes. Yes. Tastes good.
This is good scotch. You're not supposed to slam it.
That's what she said.
Ooh, that is what
she
said.
Drink, do not let Wes get us.
Sorry.
Yeah, Zoe, I'm not going down for you. I'm sorry, girl. Got a drink. What is your favorite animated TV series?
Oh, well, don't ask me that.
I know, it's a hard one.
Oh, no.
Do you want to, like, separate it, like, adult versus child?
That doesn't even help. Like,
oh, yeah, it wouldn't help me either.
Listen, I grew up in the 90s on Nickelodeon. Like, you can't make me choose. It's
you gotta
impossible.
Pick one.
Oh, fucking hell. Ugh. God damn. Okay, okay, well, I'm going to split it up between adult and kid because I have to.
Okay, that's fair.
Shit, fucking hell. I love The Simpsons, obviously, which I count as adult. But can I also say I love Space Ghost?
Oh my God, I forgot about Space Ghost. It was so good back in the day. I love it.
Oh my God.
Dude, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, and okay. The Brack Show. I mean, come on.
I mean, okay, so follow up to this, because I posted this a while back on Twitter, and I stand my ground on this. Is there any cartoon show's theme song that hits harder than DuckTales?
I feel like I commented on that too. But like there's some ones that really slap.
Duckburg.
There's some ones that really fucking suck.
I mean, DuckTales is a really strong contender for that title, I think.
It is, though. It's. I mean, I'm not going to fight you on it right now because I don't want to go into it. I will start talking about it for 45 minutes, but like, that's a really strong contender. Like, that's valid. That's absolutely valid.
We are not subtweeting strong. Another member and co-host of the Are They Still Together podcast in terms of our lack of brevity in situations. I would never say that. I love you, Anthony. I'm sorry.
I would say it.
Oh,
Anthony, we love you.
We love you. We love you, Anthony.
Sorry.
I'm going to get a message from him and he's going to be like, you hate me so fucking much. Why?
No.
I love him so much.
Oh my goodness.
Can I just say that, please?
Anthony, get some self-confidence. We don't hate
all
you.
All the strings here,
dear. Yeah, Stevie already said he was going to try to convert
probably.
You to the dark side.
I do blame Steven. I blame him for everything.
Okay, so when you guys do finally play Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter or whatever the challenge is, can we do it live on your channel and like... We'll totally host your stream.
Absolutely, it's going to be live. I'm gonna get my ass handed to me, and it's going to be live.
There's a standing challenge between Zoe and Stevie Wildcard to play Mortal Kombat against each other. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Anthony's love, yeah.
To be Anthony's best friend.
The prize is Anthony's devotion, which I think he's already devoted to both of you. But I think both of you want him all to yourselves.
He has. Well, we've kind of decided that we've decided that we're just going to be a trio now. It's been very cute.
You know what?
Can we officially clear the air? Because on the episode where we have issues, Steven said that you hate Steven. So can we clear the air?
Okay, let's clear the air. I don't hate Steven at all. We actually this morning, I don't know if I can tell people this because I don't know if it's going to embarrass them, but fuck it. We came up with like a name for the three of us. We have a relationship name. And so we're cool now.
Why did you not drop that and not tell us the name?
Oh, shit. No, see, I don't know if I remember it.
You've been under the Dina title too long.
I know.
This reminds me and Peter Sean Tyrell and Carlos, and I love it. I'm vibing with it. It's great. It's Sister Wives for Life.
What's that name, Dina? Fill us in.
Oh, we don't have a name. I'll text them and ask for a name.
Is it the naked plumber in my driveway?
Naked plumber. We are the naked plumbers. yeah. Okay.
I think it's Stantone. I think that's what I remember. Stanzone. Stanzone.
You have to throw a Z in there, right? Stanzone.
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Incredible.
Something like that. It's great. Our mixtape is going to be fire. It's going to drop next week.
Listen, in all seriousness, we're super excited about the project that you guys are working on together, and we can't wait to see it.
Can I make one request if this happens? Because this has been a lifelong dream of mine. I have always wanted to be like the background hype man in a song. Like I want to be like the Little John. Like I don't want to actually sing or contribute anything. I just want to be like,
don't let him sing.
Yeah, get it, Zoe. Can I be your hype man on a track, Zoe? Can I be your hype man?
I have no control over their project, but the next time I record a song, absolutely, you can do that.
You know what, Daniel? I'll record you saying random hype man shit, and I'll forward it along. And if they want to use it, fine. If not, then, you know, at least you can say you tried.
You put yourself out of context, that's going to be with, like, no music, just me just randomly, just Sean having a whole reel of just me going, yeah! Get it!
What?
Yeah!
I just got it. Thank you. We don't need to even do a session at this point.
All right, we're already...
That's what she said.
Oh, drink, dude.
Done.
All right. Zoe, this is the part where I get to talk to you about a little bit of your art. And I'm excited about this one because you are so diverse in all these projects that you're doing. But the first one I want to touch on, because I feel like we haven't gotten to talk about it, is your music, your album. And and I listened to it all. Yeah. And let me just tell you, like, I get Prince Eric now, how he can fall in love with someone over her voice. Cause like, I was just like sitting there listening to you and I was like, oh my God, her voice is so pretty. But I have one huge problem. I have one massive problem with it, and it's not with your music, but it's how it made me feel. You want to know what my favorite song was? The Beep song.
I know, fucking knew you were going to say it.
I hate myself for how much I love that damn song, Zoe.
Drink.
Did you hear the buzzer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So
I guess, besides the fact that you make me hate myself for liking a song about the F word, not like the F word, but you know, talk me through this album. Like what, where did you come up with it? What, inspired it? Like, you know, what were you going through to create this album?
Okay. Well, I was in college, so it was a while ago. And I had never really been able to write music before. I think I was just suffering from a lack of confidence. But I loved music and I have been singing my whole life. I was a big theater kid, surprise. And, so it was always something I loved. And I guess when I got to college and got some independence a little bit, from some shitty family life stuff, I kind of just started writing and there was no real catalyst, I think. I think it was just that I was in the right place at the right time and had the right mentality for it. And just wrote a bunch of songs. And it got to a point where I was singing these songs to myself and I was really frustrated because I'm a shitty guitar player and I can't play anything else. Like I can't play instruments to save my life. So I wanted the songs to be more than they were. And so, I got in contact with a friend of mine who was a music engineer and he was like, okay, here's a studio, you know, here's these guys I know, they will, you know, not charge you out the ass for, you know, working with you on this. I think you should really go and check it out. And I did. And they helped me pick the songs that sounded the best and that were the most, ready for that stage. And just recorded them all. And it was probably the most fun I've ever had, like singing, just because singing in a booth is just, you feel so cool. You're just, yeah. You're like, you're in this booth, totally. And you're like in this expensive, in front of this expensive ass microphone. You're just like, ooh, I feel so, I feel so bougie right now. Like you just get so excited. And like, it's really fun.
And like the cool thing that I really liked about it, and I mean this as an absolute, you know, compliment with it is, you know, cause I grew up, you're talking about the 90s, TV shows. I grew up on 90s music. You know, anyone that knows me knows I love that 90s music. Oh, love that, yeah. Early 2000s. And I felt like your album was such kind of like, it had that same vibe and that same feel to it. Is that something that you were going for?
Well, thank you, first of all, because the 90s alt music is like my entire religion. Like, I love that shit.
Yes, I knew I liked you.
So thank you. but I don't know. Like, I've always had a hard time, like, classifying myself and, like, what I sound like. My favorite description was if Norah Jones forgot to, like, take her antidepressants. So that was kind of like... what I was going for.
Love it.
Fuck.
To be perfectly honest, that's like, that was the vibe I was going for. So I guess she was kind of 90s there for a second, or like early 2000s for a second there. Yeah, that was kind of the vibe I guess I was going for. But yeah, I had some shit to work through. And so I just wrote a bunch of songs about it.
And listen, they're freaking beautiful. And I loved it. And, you know, listen, I could talk more about that because I suck at music, but I appreciate music. but let's switch gears to your novel, because this is actually something that I don't know a ton about myself, because I've seen all of your other projects that the main thing that you actually do, I feel like I don't know enough about. So what is your book about? What's kind of its genre? You know, tell me about it.
Sure. I used to talk about it a lot more when I was drafting. Now that it's in edits, I don't talk about it as much because I don't like to talk about the fact that I hate editing, and so I avoid it. essentially, that's a really common theme. A romantic.
Yeah.
It's a romantic comedy. It's funny, I think. People have told me it's funny, but it's also very depressing at certain points.
We love the depression and the humor.
As a rom-com should be.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rom-com. You should be crying by the end, right? That's the point.
For sure. Yeah. That's the genre. Yeah.
But I mean, to get real, it's essentially the book I wrote to help me deal with the fact that I had a shitty past, essentially. And how I deal with that is through humor. And so that's why it's got that humorous edge to it, is because I'm the first person, like, if I can laugh about the stupid shit that has happened to me, like, you can laugh. So let's laugh, like, let's, you know, get through it in that way. So that's kind of the way I wrote it. But it focuses on this girl who's trying to figure out how to stop being so passive in her life and how to actively make choices that make her a better person and make her happier, and how to put herself first in a way that's healthy, I guess.
Is your main character based on anyone in particular, or is it just complete fiction?
Her relationship with her mother is based on me, but she herself is definitely not me in a lot of ways, because we're very different. But I think some of her humor is based on things I find funny, and then that relationship is based on me. But other than that, I don't think she's based
on anybody. I think that's a really interesting topic, because I think that's something that I think is very relevant and relatable to a lot of people. You know, I think it's very easy to, you know, take the hands off the wheel and say, you know what, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, you sometimes hear that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I'm not knocking that, but what was it about that kind of idea that drew you to wanting to explore it and write about it? Because I think that's a really fascinating topic, you know, how to be proactive in your life.
Sure. It's because I struggle with that personally. For a very long time, I just kind of was letting things happen and not advocating for myself in a lot of ways. And so that was a really important step that I started taking. And I realized that the things I went through and the way that I went through it, I think could hopefully help other people. And even if it doesn't, it helps me to write about it. So it was kind of that I needed that kind of cathartic, like, this is how I did that. This is how I get through this kind of moment. And so that's what you're
doing. And that's sure. Amazing. And I guess, you know, it's really interesting, because I've talked about it on the show before. I don't have a lot of experience in rom-com. I'm almost like that stereotypical nerd where it's like, if there's not a sword and a dragon, like, what the fuck are we doing here? You know, I've started surrounding myself and getting to know a lot of these romance authors. And it's just really interesting hearing kind of some of the struggles of writing in that genre and some of the difficulties that you kind of face with when you tell people, like, what happens when you tell people I'm writing a romance novel? Like, what are some of the things that you have to deal with the response?
An eye roll, usually.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it's you get the eye roll. I mean, people mean well. I mean, but it's true. You know, you say, oh, I'm writing romance, and they're like, oh, is Fabio going to be on the cover? Like, is that what this is?
Right?
Oh my god,
Fabio, it's like, no, it's listen, Thor looking ass over there, but. I mean, it's more just
that landed so flat. What do you say? He's trying to flip his hair. I'm sorry. How dare you try to flip your hair in front of Dina, who is like the queen of flipping hair?
It was an homage, okay?
Daniel's like, don't objectify me in this manner.
Exactly. Sorry, Cole.
But yeah, no, you get the eye roll, you get the, oh, okay, this is like some 50 Shades shit. All right. Like, you know, that's kind of what you get, because that's what people expect. But I think there's this real, I don't want to call it a renaissance because that's not what it is, but there's this real like shift in the genre, I feel like. And maybe it's not even a shift. Maybe we're just realizing that romance novels have more to them than we think. But I feel like there's real plot and there's real issues being addressed in them. It's just that we put it in the terms of, you know, there's also a relationship happening here. There's also love happening here. And it's, I don't think that that's a bad way to put it, or a bad place to put it personally. But I don't know.
I think that's tremendous. And like I said, I'm learning a lot about the genre, and it's really interesting to me because I was that guy that came in with those preconceived notions of, so it's the, the pool boy with his ripped six pack abs and, everything's a love triangle and, no offense, Tina. And
I love triangles.
You know what? Actually, hold on. I need to get your opinion. Real Dinosaurus, AKA Zoe. How do you feel about love triangles?
I like them if they're done right. I think that they can be like very carefully curated. Everybody's going to be like, is it possible? Wait, did I do something wrong? What the fuck did I miss? I was
purposely trying to be as obtuse as possible.
Hold on a second. It's just so confusing. You guys threw a wrench into this production. So he's like, the real Dinosaurus, Zoe, answer this question. And I'm sitting here going, who's going to answer it?
I thought, wait, were Zoe and I on the same page? Like, it was supposed to be me, right?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, I thought that it.
I've been waiting so long to set up that question. I purposely wanted to make that one as absolutely as confusing and ambiguous as possible. So there was no right answer on that one. I'm so sorry. Ever since you guys first did the name switch, I've been waiting to set up that question.
It was totally a setup. It was totally intentional. It was a setup.
It was absolutely a setup.
I don't like it. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, you're cut off now, Dina. Zoe, tell us, what do you think? Tell us about.
Go ahead, Zoe.
Yeah.
Me? Okay.
Dina, I'm sorry. I love you.
You played on me being conceited, you fucking asshole. It's literally in the middle of her fucking talking. He was like, let's get somebody else's opinion.
I was going to ask both of you, so if it helps, you're both going to get in on this. So.
Okay, go ahead. Fuck you. You're dead to me.
We already know how you feel about love triangles, Dina.
I'm a fucking dinosaur in our new graphic. Fuck you guys.
Sorry. Zoe, talk us through some love triangles here.
Yes. They pissed me off. I'm sorry, Dina.
You're all dead to me now.
Okay. It's happened before where I didn't hate it. I can like a book that has a love triangle in it. I can. It's been done. It's just that I'm a little bit harsher on them.
Okay, that's fair enough. All right. All right. So.
I love you. I'm sorry.
My last question.
We're going to take two people's opinions here, but he's going to skip past Dina's.
It's Dina, fine. What is your opinion in the love triangles?
I was literally waiting for him to forget me. Because he always fucking forgets me and he calls me by the wrong fucking name.
I 100% and he forgets it.
I'm your fucking world, Daniel. I'm so sorry you have to see this,
Zoe. They're like an old married couple that bicker all the time.
We really are.
It's adorable.
So, I don't like any love triangle except for my own. Thank you.
That's the statement. All right, so I've got one last artistic question because I want to make sure that I cover all the bases here. Podcasting, you do the show with Anthony. Yes. Are they still together? Available on all podcasting platforms and YouTube. Is this a, because especially with what you do on Twitch, you're starting to get yourself out in front of the camera, start to get interacting, and I kind of get the impression that is, even though you're a theater kid, there's a huge difference between going up and doing a scripted play and just having to be your own personality. I guess what I would say is, how has your comfort level changed since you started doing this? And is this something that you could see yourself kind of growing and expanding on doing, like podcasts and more Twitch?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to expand on it. It's weird, for sure, because I say it on on Twitch all the time. It's always just like, I don't know why the hell you people watch me. I'm so freaking weird. Like I don't get Same. It. But I enjoy it. So I would love to keep doing it. I mean, what helps is the interaction, at least on Twitch, like, because you're talking to people. I mean, it's not face to face, but you're still having that back and forth with them. So it's a little bit more conversational. It feels a little bit less like you're being focused on 100%.
Unless they're watching it after. And they don't
oh my
it.
God, Dina. It clearly says Zoe is offline. This is a saved video on demand. That's such a Daniel thing to do.
Where does it fucking say that, though? Like, where?
Okay, you know what?
Dewey.
After we're done, we'll send you a screenshot, and I will show you where it clearly says it's video on demand. Zoe's offline.
This will be on the YouTube. This is going to be definitely graphic.
Dewey literally had to message me and be like, what the fuck are you doing? She's not online anymore. And I was like,
no, he didn't.
Dude. Oh, no. Dewey is the yes, hero he was we like, don't deserve, man.
He was like, what is your... He's like, what is your, and I was like, she's online, right? Like, what do you mean? What? You're watching her right now. You already tweeted that you were watching.
It was a VOD.
Well, this is the perfect segue to, we got one more question from each of us. One from me, one from Dina. These are off the wall, insane, crazy questions where we try to catch you up with something ridiculous. Like the Dinosaurus Raptor call. That is actual audio of Dina as a velociraptor. That's not a joke. She really makes that sound.
That is amazing. All right. Your podcast is taken over by a fictional character of the last show that you watched. Who is it and what do they do?
Oh, shit. What was the last show I watched? Oh, I was catching up on Grey's Anatomy. So I guess it would be Meredith Grey.
Nice.
Yes.
And I guess she would probably be trashing all romances because Derek Shepherd died and she's a miserable.
It would all be internal monologue.
So there's that. Oh and it God, would. It would be all internal
staring
monologue.
Staring at Anthony
yes.
with the internal.
With.
And Anthony's just sitting there like, so how did you feel about the movie? And she's just like.
No, you have to be like more It'd like be, the cold yeah. stare. Like
it would be that episode of Scrubs where JD keeps going in his head, and we see what the people are doing while he's in his head.
Yes!
That it would be oh that God, exactly.
All right, you have to do us a favor. Next time you go on an
oh
episode,
God, I miss Scrubs.
Just like it's a little shout out to us. Just have like a brief inner monologue moment where, like, you know, Anthony says something, maybe asks you a question, and you just kind of like stare at him for a minute, like look up, and he has no idea what the fuck's going on.
Solid 60 seconds minimum.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Minimum, yeah.
He would not let me stare up into space for that long, but I will do my best.
Hold on. You know what? We'll even do better. We're even going to do better.
I will All do right. my best.
Zoe. We're going to give you 5 seconds. I want you to stare off into space, and we're going to dub over an inner monologue for you right now for our episode. So first, stare off.
I wonder if Dan's wearing pants right now. What about Sean? Oh, my God. Is Dina wearing pants?
What a good question, though. Well done, Dina.
I really thought that I was supposed to both of us were supposed to stare off into space.
The wig is gone to your head. You have no idea who's who anymore.
It is. I keep like, it's so pretty. I want to.
All right. So here's my last question. All right. So in honor of the big showdown, the big battle that's going to go down between you and Stevie Wildcard.
Sir.
I want to know, you have to play him in a brand new graphically violent video game. It's called Sesame Street Fighter. Who's your fighter?
Cookie Monster.
Oh my God, that's exactly what Daniel wanted to hear. You're pandering to Daniel listen. Right now.
That was a cheap ass shot. That's bullshit.
Listen, that was my nickname in elementary school. I would never choose anyone different.
Oh my God.
I don't think this is fair because we don't have an answer from Stevie Vilkart.
Oh, we'll have to just get this off
air.
We don't
need one. He's going to get decimated.
Yeah, I'll ask him to record a clip and I'll cut it into the episode.
Responding to Zoe is Mr. Dr. Stevie Vilkart.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What do you got for me, Sean?
Well, you saw the clip.
I did. Zoe is still slinging that dirt my way, I guess, when it comes to our little rivalry for Anthony's heart and Anthony's best friendship. So she thinks that by picking Cookie Monster in I'm guessing a Sesame Street based fighter game.
Yeah.
She's going to best me in it, right? Doesn't she play Sims?
Yeah, Sims.
Sims.
Mass Effect, I think.
Mass Effect. So my fighter for Sesame Street has got to be Big Bird. And I'm going to raffle stomper with Big Bird-esque hurricane kicks. I imagine Cookie Monster is going to be a grappling type fighter. He's probably going to be a Zangief, if you will. And we all know Ryu just wrecks Zangief in Street Fighter. So it's not even going to be a challenge. I mean, I've played fighter games. I just can't believe the dirt she was talking, Sean. I just can't believe it.
Well, I thought it was only fair to bring you in and, let you defend yourself.
I'm very thankful that you did, Sean. I'm very happy that you did because, this rivalry runs pretty deep. And I'm going to let you know if Anthony and I are ever really successful, I'm going to go to the creators of Sesame Street. I'm going to purchase the rights to produce a Sesame Street based fighting game. And I'm going to get it published and challenge Zoe to prove once and for all who Anthony's best friend is.
That is dedication, my friend.
That is dedication.
That is dedication. I applaud you. And any parting words before we get out of here?
Zoe, I thought we buried this, but I guess you're digging it back up, so I'm coming for you.
Just decimate him. Fuck yes. I love it. Well done, Zoe. Well done.
Thank you.
This is outstanding.
Thank you.
All right. Now we are here to get a little story time with Zoe. She tells us that she's got a good little intriguing bit from an anecdote from her life. Producer Sean, play the music.
Oh, you guys got to pick first. We have choose your own adventure.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go.
We like it.
Okay, so I'll try to choose between a couple of here. All right, let me look here. Okay. All right. The first one is only funny if you know who Logan and Jake Paul are.
I know who they are.
Who doesn't, unfortunately?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
so it was the time I told the older one to shut up. Ooh. Okay, so.
Which one's older? Is that Jake?
I think it's Logan. I think Logan.
Does it matter? Logan. It tell them both to shut up.
It doesn't. Okay, so there was that one. There's the time I got the cops called when I was babysitting. And then there's the time that I broke my foot because it's hilarious.
Okay, quick poll. Dina?
Quick poll.
Time she broke her foot.
Daniel.
Listen, Dina has trained me to really morally legal stories, questionably legal stories. So I'm going to go with questionably legal here. Get the cops called on you.
Are we going to flip a coin?
Producer Sean.
I'm with Daniel on this one. Oh, I want to hear the controversial questionably legal story.
All right, let's just drink ahead of time.
I felt like it wasn't going to be insane like the others. Okay, go ahead.
It's not that
That's
insane.
That's why I didn't pick it. Okay. Trusting his gut. Fuck you guys.
Okay. Right. Okay, hold on.
That is rule number one.
Rule number one, trust Dina's gut.
Yep, I agree. You're right.
So, broken foot.
Broken foot.
All right, then. This one's just funny because it's embarrassing for me.
That's why we like
it. So,
story time with Zoe.
Okay. Picture it, Sicily, 1922. Okay.
yes.
Oh, no. Sorry. I had to. Okay. I was 16, and I had a crush on a boy.
As most do.
As most
Same.
Do.
Same.
And he was apparently unaware of the fact that I had a crush on him. Mm, but, okay, so 16-year-old me drove over to his house and played Super Smash on the GameCube with him.
GameCube, that's
and
perfect. It's badass. He was rich.
And, you know. And I was very, very badly flirting, trying
As
to flirt.
As most 16-year-olds do.
Hoping I was flirting and failing. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but I am awkward as hell.
Same, girl.
It was not good. It's not good. And so eventually, after only maybe like 45 minutes to an hour, I was like, we're calling this, because I just, this is a little embarrassing for me. I need to just kind of walk away while I still have my dignity semi-intact here. Yeah. So I'm leaving, and I'm wearing platform flip-flops.
Wait, that's a thing?
Wait, like the old black ones?
It was...
The black ones with like the fabric that like, oh, yes.
They were like
Sean,
this
for later
thick
on post edits,
because I'm short.
I need to see a picture
yes,
of that.
Yes, I'll
thing.
Send you a picture, Sean. I know exactly what she's talking about. Oh, God. So bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. So this is what I chose to wear.
Because they were
and
hot back in the day.
This garage. They were. Yeah. Okay, it was the OOs. There was... Nothing was okay in the OOs, but so I'm walking through his garage to get to my car, and there's a crack in his garage, and my flip-flop got stuck in it when I stepped down. So when I lifted my foot, and the flip-flop was one of those like V flip-flops, so when I lift my foot, the flip-flop does not come with me, so my foot goes boom. And then I fell and went bam. So it went crack, crack.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was real bad. So I fall over. He's right next to me, by the way. I still fall over
he
somehow.
He didn't catch you? What kind of man Stay is this?
Catcher.
Oh, no.
What a jackass.
Oh, no. Starts laughing.
Bitch.
Starts laughing his ass off. And I'm sitting on the floor, and I, you know, pop my shoe out of this crack and stand up, still laughing, and I start limping, because I didn't realize my foot was broken, but it was.
Oh, Bam, nah.
Oh, I was hopping, and he just goes, oh, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm really not, but thanks, I'm fine. And so I get to my car, and this is my right foot, by the way. I get to my car, and because my pride is still somehow intact.
Yep, keep it up.
I get in my car and I drive home with a broken foot.
Yeah.
Not realizing that maybe it would be better on me if I just drove with my left foot. No. My bitch drove home with her right foot, which is as painful as childbirth, can
yeah,
confirm.
That's fair.
I can confirm. So, thankfully, it was about a 6-minute drive. Like, I lived in a small town. But I get home, and I'm screaming at this point, hopping into my house on one foot on a platform flip-flop. And my dad is asleep on the couch because dad. And, you know, I'm screaming. And he's like, what the hell is wrong? And he just, like, you know, he bolts up. He's like, what the hell? And he helps me over to the couch. I elevate my foot, and it's black. I'm not even lying when I tell you this foot is black.
Oh, no.
Okay. And so I go to the hospital. They tell me it's broken. I get a cast and all that stuff. And so this guy texts me the next day.
I don't want to hear from you, motherfucker.
Because this is the funny part. He texts me and he's like, hey, how are you? And I was like,
fine.
I broke my foot in your garage. And he was like, oh shit, really? I'm like, yeah, I did. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And he felt so bad about it. Like, I will give him his credit. He felt so bad. But he was like, okay, so, you know, I'll come over. Like, do you want to hang out? Like, I'll come over. I'll keep you company. You're probably stuck at home. Yeah. And because I was home alone, and I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So I know. I was stupid. Okay. I still had this much of a crush too. So I said this, I was hanging on by a thread. And so he comes over and we sit and we watch Pirates of the Caribbean.
Fuck
because
yeah.
This is like the time frame right
Jack
now.
Sparrow.
Oh, I love you some Jack Sparrow. And so, yeah, we were watching this movie and my crush is just waning as we go. Because I'm sitting here staring at my bright pink cast and I'm like, this is not worth it.
He ain't worth it, ladies.
You don't look like Jack Sparrow. You know, I'm not here for this anymore. And so by the time the movie's over, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go take a nap. Like, can you leave? And I walk him to the door. He turns around.
Oh!
And he kisses me.
Oh!
That's the time he went for the moon!
It's the time. And when I tell you that he had put on like a bunch of chapstick before.
Oh, no.
Like an uncomfortable amount of chapstick.
I don't like that.
It was a waxy kiss.
Very, very bad. It was real bad. And so he
was that
he
your first kiss
back
or no?
And I'm like, no, thank God.
She might have never kissed anyone again if that was the first kiss. Like, I just don't see it heal.
No. I'm not saying my first kiss was not better, but at least it wasn't that. But I was like, he pulls back and I just go,
oh!
Goodbye. And I open the door.
Cold-blooded! I love it!
That's beautiful.
And he left. He texted me after and he was like, did I do the wrong thing? And I was like, yeah, you did. You did the wrong thing. Don't do that again.
Bad touch.
Bad touch.
So that's
an incredible story, which is why we always trust Dina's gut. That is rule number one on our podcast. And let me tell you, this confirms something I've always believed fully and completely, that women are so much tougher and stronger than men. Because had that been me, I just would have been a ball on the ground crying. Be like, oh my God, my foot!
I got to find new sandals.
Yeah, I don't know how I did that. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't know what kind of shit I was channeling, but it was
some voodoo shit.
I couldn't do it.
That's estrogen shit.
You guys know what time it is, right?
It is time for my favorite segment where we get to get Zoe to channel her inner steamy erotica romance ritual.
He was thinking about belly buttons when he said any.
I was.
Were you really? Shut the fuck.
So, producer Sean's going to send the read. Now, for the folks at home, as always, we did not come up with these. This is from a chosen literary group that finds the worst sex scenes in all of books and picks a winner every year. And you've got a winner this year, Zoe. And this one's going to be a little bit of a read, but I need you to make sure because this is very important.
Don't read it, Zoe. Don't read it. You're not allowed to read it.
Zoe, I'm going to send this to you on Twitter. I'm going to slide into them Twitter DMs. You're not allowed to read ahead. You're reading this cold. Okay?
Okay.
I trust you.
And you have to use your most sultry voice. It has to be seductive, powerful.
I don't have one of those. What are you talking about?
I don't think I did either. Apparently I do.
It's pretty steamy.
I have uncomfortable and uncomfortabler.
I mean, give me the most uncomfortable that you can get. I need maximum discomfort.
All right. The Shape of Her by Rowan Somerville, 2010. Naked from waist to toe, a faint wedge of paleness from a few hours of sun, streaked with shadows in the candlelight. The triangle of pubic hair, blonde. A thin line bunched darkly like desert vegetation following an underground stream.
Keep it together, Zoe.
He placed his hand on the concave stretch that was her belly, letting two fingers rest in the yawn of her navel. He slipped downwards, grazing the tight skin of her waist with his fingertips. He reached her hairline, and the muscles of her belly hardened as she raised herself up onto her elbows. She stayed his hand and drew him, yanked him, into a smothering kiss. She released his hair from her fingers and twisted onto her belly like a fish flipping itself. Her movement so brusque, his chin bounced off her head.
What the fuck?
I need a second. It's too hot for me. He grasped the side of her hips, pushed her away, and pulled her to him with a slap, again and again with more force and velocity. Then pressed her face deeper into the cushion, grunting into the foam at each thrust. The wet friction of her, tight around him, the sight of her open, stretched around him, the cleft of her body, it tore a climax out of him with a final lunge. I don't know that word. Like a lepidopterist mounting a tough-skinned insect with a too blunt pin, he screwed himself into her. Le finit.
What a twist ending!
Twist.
For those of you who aren't watching this on YouTube, you should see Dina's face right now.
It's gross.
Oh my god. I love the fish flipping metaphor there. Yeah. Like the. He just brusquely, like.
Oh. Yeah.
Well done, Zoe.
That's the part that made me snort.
I don't like any of it.
Well, what was your favorite part?
The whole thing, obviously.
The whole thing. My favorite part was before she started, before I had ever had to hear that. Why was fish?
She gets that
his,
a lot.
Like, why did he use that as his analogy? Like, it's fish is the worst sexual analogy you can possibly use.
Don't question the artist, okay? He's a professional.
I'm questioning the artist.
He likes fish.
We all have our kinks, you know? It's what it is.
For later, we need to, like, I need to define the vocab word of whatever lepidopterostomist is. We got.
I thought it was a dinosaur at first.
Yeah, that's going to say.
I was very confused. It's something to do with bugs, at least from what I'm getting.
I love talking about bugs
here.
In the bedroom.
And like pinning them poorly.
Who doesn't?
Oh my gosh. All right, so Zoe, this was incredible. Thank you so much for joining with us, dealing with our technical difficulties and the fact that I am even more just off and lost my mind because I'm sleep deprived right now. So I appreciate you so much. Thank you. This is so pretty. All right, guys, again, you can find Zoe on the.
Wait, he did it. He finally did it. Caught himself.
I did catch myself. Mm-hmm. I did. This is.
He almost called Zoe Dina. He said,
"Oh, did he?"
Yep. And then he pulled it back.
I was sleep deprived enough to pull it back. Yes. All right. You can find Zoe on the Are They Still Together podcast, available everywhere, available on YouTube. It is hilarious. They go through all of the movies and your favorite couples, and they let you know why none of them are still together.
Yeah. With friend of the podcast, Anthony Lafusi, and if you want to choose what movie they review, you can do it on their Twitter account.
Boogie Nights. Make it happen, people. All right, so Zoe, where can the folks find you? Where can they find all of you, your work, anything that they want to find online?
Everywhere, I am just written by Zoe M. So that's Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all that fun stuff. It's pretty easy. I tried to make it as easy as
possible. We'll post your link tree in the description.
Awesome.
Again, thank you so much. I am one of your hosts of the Don't Make a Weird podcast, Daniel Quigley, and you can find me on Twitter at Dan Q Writes Thing.
Just Dunk Writes Thing.
It's not Dunk.
Dunk is rain.
Dunk. Dan Q Writes Thing. And Dina, where can they find you?
You can find me at Dinosaurus D. That's Big D. He's not. Sorry.
And you can also find me in the future as a hype man on Zoe's next album. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. Producer Sean, where can they find you?
You can find me pretending to record you being a hype man to give you some hope.
I appreciate that, buddy. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will see you all again next week. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
The Don't Make It Weird podcast, hosted by Daniel Quigley and Dina Soris. Produced by me, Sean Holden. Music by Amaria. Thank you to Zoe for being our guest this week. Check out the links to all of her stuff in the description below. If you like the show and you want to support us, check out our merch store at store.don'tmakeitweird.net. Oh yeah, and hi Shannon!